Well, wherever you're at, in your home or at work, or if you have access to the scripture, I would ask you to turn to Luke the 23rd chapter, Luke 23, two verses that I want to camp out on this afternoon. Again, thank you for joining us. We're encouraged to be with you. We're praying God will continue to use this and our closing song to be a real blessing to you. Luke 23, verses 33-34. We are stepping right in, kind of the middle of the crucifixion here on that day so long ago, and we believe it's on a Friday. Luke 23, verse 33-34. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." They cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. I have to tell you, for me personally, this is always a difficult message for me to give. If you've probably had this happen, but when I read the Gospels, when I read the account of my Lord going to the cross, it stirs me. It often brings me to tears, and especially when I recall his suffering as such. That may seem odd to some, but here's the thing. This is a part of my Savior's life that reaches deep into my soul, and I think many of you would say the same thing. So today is bittersweet. For me it is. I am forever thankful for what he did. I praise God for that. But it's sobering as well to see him on the cross and to think through what brought him there and the suffering that went on. There are seven statements that Jesus makes from the cross. First one is, "Father, forgive them." That's the one we'll be on today. The other statements are this: "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He also said, "Woman, behold your son." My God, why have you forsaken me? I am thirsty. It is finished. And Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." The one we're going to spend the rest of our time on this afternoon is "Father, forgive them," found here in Luke's gospel. I want you to know where he's at when he says this. Let's look at it again. Verse 33, when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him. Jesus is between heaven and earth. We mention the crosswork of Jesus, but easily gloss over the magnitude of the physical toil that it had on his body. Jesus is nailed to the cross. We cannot move from that thought without understanding that this is what he was willing to do for you and I. There are three nails there, one in his feet, one in each hand. He has endured six trials at this point, three civilian, three religious. He was given a scepter. He was publicly shamed. He was stripped. He was given a scarlet robe. He was given a crown of thorns. He was blindfolded, beaten. He was slapped in the face. He was scourged. Scourging could kill a man. That is why Simon had to carry our Lord's cross. Jesus is, at this point, physically exhausted. He's been up since early Thursday morning. He's crucified, I believe, at 9 a.m. on Friday. Been up all night, many hours. He's spent. So he's between heaven and earth. That's where he's at when he makes this statement, "Father, forgive them." He's hurting in indescribable pain. He's being made sin for us. I've described to you some of the physical aspects of this crucifixion. But there's something, I believe, even darker that is happening to him. Every sin of every man for all eternity is being laid on him. He's becoming sin for us, he who knew no sin. What he was doing was being a substitute for you and I. God sees him there, and God's wrath is being poured out. 2 Corinthians 5:21 states it well. He made him, that is the Father, made the Son. He made him who knew no sin, the perfect Lamb of God, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took the punishment that I deserved. He paid for my sin. He paid for yours. That's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. This was his rescue mission. This was the day he's paying for it. He's on the cross. He's between heaven and earth. And there he's taking your sin and my sin. The Father has placed it on him, and he is under the wrath of Almighty. Why would he do this? In other words, why not say, Father, destroy them. You see what they're doing to your perfect Son. Destroy them now. Strike them dead immediately. Why wouldn't he say that? Why wouldn't he say, Father, they're treating your Son, whom you love, with great contempt, hatred, and I ask you to pour forth your judgment now? Why wouldn't he say that? He didn't say that because they need to be forgiven. Again, in verse 34, Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Our Lord's heart is laid bare on the cross. That's what we see. What is in him? What is inside? The grace and love and mercy. It pours out from the cross in this amazing way as he speaks about God forgiving them. What grace, what concern for the lost, for his enemies. You know, it is when we are in heart-wrenching circumstances, when we are really hurting, that our words and attitudes reveal what's on the inside. When we look at Jesus suffering in this great pain, now remember, he's without any of our modern-day meds that can numb this pain, making him die a more bearable death. He says, Father, forgive him. He's beaten. He's bloody. His pain is great, and yet, Father, forgive them. He sees their need, their brokenness, and their future. He knows that they have a big sin problem, and they will spend eternity in hell suffering for it if they do not turn to him in faith. Jesus knows why he came. He came to serve, to pay a ransom, to seek. He came to save souls. And as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he must endure the cross. They need to be forgiven. He must suffer for their sin. And his desire for them is to see him differently than they currently do. Jesus lived his life on earth surrounded by sin and sinners. His murderers, those who are mocking him, the religious elite of his day, they are dominated by sin. They are the ones speaking now. He sees them and he says, Father, forgive them. Matthew 27:41-42. In the same way, this mocking, in the same way the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. You see, they have no compassion for him because within their souls, these religious elite, these leaders of the day, these who have rejected Jesus, within their souls is this ever-present darkness, and it manifests itself in their speech. Their families feel it, you can know that. And it would be true that every relationship these individuals are in is dominated by what is within inside, sin. Sin has wrecked this world. It has. It consumes the hearts of men. See, we murder, we hurt, and we wound others. We lie, we steal, we think awful thoughts toward each other. We have no regard for others, but are self-centered and self-serving. The history of mankind bears this out. And what we see is sin in the heart of man. We see it as to what he is capable of. His history says this. It is fractured communities. It has stolen elections. It has driven men to seek power and prestige at any cost. The whole earth is enveloped by its evil. From the most remote tribes to the greatest cities in the world, one thing is clear. Sin abounds, and it has ruined and impacted an infected man. Man is driven by it. And by it, he is consumed. With our words, we praise God and we curse man. Man gossips and his immorality rebels against his Creator. We have a great need to be forgiven because Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one. In and of ourselves, we're condemned. Our sin condemns us and it cries out for justice. See, we are all in the same boat. We need to be forgiven. We have a great need that God would release us from our sins. We cannot undo in and of ourselves what we have done. This is why Jesus went to the cross. And this is why he says, Father, forgive them. Jesus also said that because he's full of grace. He's full of grace. John 1:14 says about Jesus, he's known as the Word here, and the Word, Jesus, became flesh, dwelled among us. We saw his glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If we could pause for just a moment and think about who the Lord reached out to, it speaks to Jesus being full of grace and truth. Do you remember the man in Mark 5? He was crazy. He couldn't be held by chains, spent his time being dominated by demons. He came running to Jesus while possessed with a legion of those demons. And Jesus ministered to him, and he set him free. That was so, so beautiful. He cast out those demons, gave him new life, and instructed this demonic man who was set free, forgiven, to go. Mark 5:19, he did not let him, but he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Jesus said, go. You're a witness to me. Go tell others. But he set this man free. This man was untouchable to so many others, but Jesus ministered. What of the woman caught in adultery? After dealing with the sinful motives of those who paraded her in front of him, he said this in John 8:11. He asked about anyone condemning her. She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more. He released her from her sin of immorality. You know, from tax collectors to lepers, to the little children, Jesus extended grace to every one of them. He longs to forgive anyone who would come to him because he's full of grace. He's full of truth. He reaches out to you and I and longs to minister to us. All of us have a past, but none of us are so far gone that the grace of the Lord and His work on the cross, His payment there, will not release us from our sins. We've been made new through faith in Christ, and it changes us. It makes us like Him. I was reminded of this truth this past week. There's a couple that attend our church here, and I believe they perfectly demonstrated the grace and love of Christ to an individual who needed a hand. It was a homeless man who had all of his belongings were in a shopping cart. He was on M35 just south of Escanaba. He'd spent Monday night, that was a cold night, in the woods under a tree in the cold rain. God stirred this couple to inquire as they saw him about his situation. They pulled up next to him, gave him a ride into Marinette, met some basic needs, got him to a shelter. You know, Jesus would have talked to that guy. Many of us would have passed him by. But you know what? No one was beyond our Lord's ministry. He has great regard for each and every person. I rejoice to hear this. I rejoice to know this. You know, the passion of his heart. Anyone, everyone, anywhere, he ministered to him, to them. And as followers, we should have hearts that are no different. If you've been forgiven and forgiven much, we need to forgive as well. My friend, do you see it? Do you need it? Have you been set free? Have you taken him up on that offer to trust him for eternal life? I hope you have, because today he offers the same to you and I. Jesus said from the cross to those who had nailed him there, "Father, forgive them." To their mocking, he said, "God, set them free." He offers to you and I the same today. Those words echo over time. God has made a way to forgive you and I and yet be justified in doing so. See, God can't be a righteous judge and just sweep and set aside all sin for all time without justice being done. Justice was done on the cross where Jesus became sin for us and paid for our sin. I like how the Apostle Peter expresses this truth. 1 Peter 2:24, "And he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." Friend, have you ever said something you wish you could take back? Words that hurt others? Words that miss the mark of what God has called us to say, wholesome words, words that build up? Have we ever used words that tear down? I have. Have you ever done something you regret and wish that somehow you could go back in time and make a different decision, a different choice? I have. I think we all have. And that's the point. That's the point. We cannot live perfectly on this side of heaven. We've all sinned. We've all missed the mark. We've all been separated from God. We will step into eternity either forgiven through the blood and cross of Jesus Christ or regretting for all eternity that we weren't. Jesus longed for his murderers to be forgiven. He longs for you and I the same. So my question is this, have you been forgiven? Are you in Christ? Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood." In him, in Christ, is a term used throughout the New Testament. And it is used of those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. In him, we have what? The redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And God's people should say amen to that truth. We've been forgiven. We've been released through Christ. Our access point to this is Christ himself. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. These last two scriptures I've shared with you are just powerful. Colossians 2, 13, 14. It's expressed so well there. When you were dead in your transgressions, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, that's where we must begin. You were dead. These believers in Colossae, the Word of God comes to them and they're reminded about where they were one day. One day, they were spiritually dead. But look what happens. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Again, praise God. But you see it there as well. There's relationship. He made you alive together with him. We've been made alive together with Christ through faith, having canceled out their certificate of debt. We all, if we were honest, could write out an awful lot of sinful things we've involved ourselves in. And however long or short that list is, it could have one sin on it and we would be separated from God. But through faith in Christ, God, he releases us. He extends forgiveness to us. And we praise him for that. Well, how can I be in Christ? How can I be forgiven? How can I have this relationship that the scripture so clearly speaks of? I want to make it as simple as I can. Acts 16:31. There was one man that asked one time how to be right with God. They said, believe in the Lord and you will be saved, you and your household. You believe, that's your access point. Faith in Christ alone. Understand this, we're sinners in need of a Savior. That's why God sent a Savior, to save us. God's heart, the Lord's heart, is to release you from the payment, from the penalty of your sin, separation from God forever. Your access is right here. Believe, trust, faith. Will I believe he died for me? Will I place my faith in him? I trust you will. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I would urge you to do that today. My brothers and sisters, I want to say to you, we have every reason to rejoice. May God hit you afresh and anew that you have been forgiven. Praise God. We have been forgiven through faith in Jesus. It is so. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross paved the way for us to be released from our sins. That's what I want you to remember. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for you, for me. When our sin was placed on him, God the Father poured out his wrath. Jesus paid the penalty. He died. And through access, through faith in him, the access that we have, we are released from our sins. And we all say, praise God for that glorious truth. Thank you, Lord, for doing just that. Every time we meet on Good Friday, I always leave you with this thought. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I will look to see you in that day, and in that day we will rejoice. Let's pray. Loving Father, this is over the top amazing. Thank you that you would take someone like us, like me, a sinner in need of a Savior, and through faith in your Son, release me from the penalty of sin. Give me a home in heaven. Help me to do what I need to do here and now. Guide me along. Thank you that you're here with us and you're able to take us through whatever troubled waters we have. We rejoice in our standing before you, having been forgiven. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.